I on? Yeah? Okay. Well, there's been a few months since I've been able to be in a choir. It's nice to be back. I don't know if you like it, but I like it. But anytime I can praise the Lord, I have learned as I get older, I feel shameful sometimes that I don't do it more often. So thank you, choir, for coming. First of all, and I have post-its too. So I might be throwing my sermon all over the place in rabbit holes because I get these post-its through everything. So I want to thank you. I want to thank the church. During my surgery, the tough times that I went through, I got cards, I got texts, I got meals, calls from people I would never expect it from. So thank you, church. I appreciate the family I have here at Ebenezer Congregational Church. So that's my first. I've been reading for 3 years the same book. Third time through. This is three books in one by A.W. Tozer, The Pursuit of God. I don't know if I'll ever understand the full pursuit, that I will ever be able to gain that full pursuit of our Creator, of the Lord who blessed me, who gives me mercy and grace. So it drew me to Matthew 16, verse 24 to 26. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. And I'm going to really concentrate. 26 is the part that really struck me. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Lord, today we come before you. And we want to know your will and what you want from us, Lord. But if we don't go into your word, if we don't make that effort to get into your word, we will not know what that is. So, Lord, today, even though I'm before the people and I'm speaking, I pray that the words you want to come from my lips are your words and not mine. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what is he telling us in this? So here's what I wrote. He's telling us we are thinking like worldly people. When something happens to us, when something that we're going through or something we accomplish, we think on worldly terms. And we say, "Yeah, I did it. Yeah, he did it. He gave us that strength." Tozer talks about, for the believer, we receive Christ as Lord our Savior. We go through a process. We hear the word. Those of us with a tender heart receive those words, don't we? And we take those words. We accept. We receive Jesus Christ, his calling on us. then maybe we get discipled. I've been in churches where once a new believer comes forth, we disciple that person on what the foundation of the church is and the foundation of our belief is. I hope someday that here we can have such a program. But that's what we do. Then they might go through a believer's baptism. Then we're set. That's it. We don't have to do anything else. We're saved. We're going to heaven. I just go along my life. I do good things. Good things happen to me. I prosper. I get a good job. I buy a house. I buy my house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But that's it. A lot of us, and I'm going to talk about my shortcomings, and maybe it'll be an application in yours. But that's all I do. When we talk about actually, you get the whole world, it's saying you can't even get the whole world and save your soul. But what is your world? Is it your job? Is it your success? Is it something you own? Is it like Abraham and Isaac, where Isaac was taken up his whole life, his whole soul? And the Lord said, all right, I'll show you what's important. I'll show you what's important. And he took him to that mount, didn't he? We just think we're scot-free. Even the unbelievers, they get blessed, don't they? I was teaching in Awana years ago at Berean Baptist Church in Burnsville, Minnesota. I was a director and of the Awanas. And I was teaching, something struck me. I was raised in the church, but I never looked at Jesus as I do today. So I don't believe I was saved at that time. When I was a young man in my earlier ages, I played hockey. And me and the guys would get together, 8th grade through senior. We go down to the pond once it's frozen. We play hockey. One year, we played hockey a little too early, and I went through the ice. I went down under, came back up. I had my hockey stick, put it on the ice, and the other guys were on the thing just screaming. That's all I could hear. I'm gonna die, drown. They're sticking their hockey sticks. I'm trying to go forward. And every time I do, the ice is breaking. Finally, Grab pulled me out. Did the Lord show me mercy? Did he show me grace? I was in my 40s before I thanked him. What about you? I talked to the Peters family before. I want to talk about the Peters family. They come to my heart when I talk, when I think of the grace the Lord has. Why? It's a talented family. You get this guy, 50, playing basketball with 18, 20-year-old kids and showing him like he's 20. Talent. Why? Because the Lord allowed it. A football player. Just a brute, my first year out to watch him play this year. This kid can hit. But I told him, when you do anything, you give the glory to the Lord. You can pitch a ball, You give the glory to the Lord. And if you walk five people in a row, you give the glory to the Lord. You always do. And everything. Scripture says, not Richard. And this is where I start going all over the place. Because I just saw my note. Let's talk about people prospering. Go to Psalm 37:7. Psalm 37:7. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways. See, you can still do well and not know the Lord and not give glory to who deserves the glory. Let's go to Psalm 73:12 while you're in Psalms. Behold, again, Psalm 73:12. Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. God is blessing people all the time. Do we give them the glory? I tell you what, after Bill, me, anyone who goes through a surgery, and you feel like you've been hit by a truck. But I chose to thank the Lord for that. Because I grew in that time. How did I grow? When I get up one in the morning because I can't sleep, I pray for people. Others. I don't even pray for myself. I don't know why sometimes. I pray for you. I pray for the church. I pray for Pat. I love seeing you here, Pat. Praise God. That's what we do. Matthew 5:45. Matthew 5:45. Right in the middle. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He blesses the same. You play with 50 guys on the team. How many people give God the glory for when you're playing? Don't worry about them. Yeah, they're blessed, and they might be better than you. There might be better softball players, basketball players, but you still give God the glory. You know, and then staying in the sports team, I'm thinking of like Tim Tebow, if you guys know football, who got ridiculed because he would pray on the field. He didn't care. Because that's who his faith and his belief is in. It's not in the football. It's not in the million-dollar contract. It's in him. It's in the Lord. Or this young man now, Patrick Mahomes, right? 23, 24 years old, whatever he is. What did he do? He gave glory to God and said it was because of him. That's where his faith is. Millions of people hear that. What about us? I want to read you just a chorus of a song. The verse first, then the chorus. The alarm goes off to start the day. Each child of God takes their stage. Might be at school. Might be a job. This world could change if this was our prayer. I want my stage to be an altar. So all the praise goes to the Father. If I get selfish and make this life all about me, Lord, please, I want my stage to be an altar. That should be you guys showing the students. That should be us if we go to McDonald's to have coffee with the guys, the gals. That's what we do. I'm proud of my woman of thunder. Who's the woman of thunder? They come in the cafeteria at the Sydney Health Center every Thursday morning, 9:30 or somewhere around there. And they pray out in the cafeteria. They study the Bible. They're not ashamed. Are you ashamed? Am I ashamed? Am I? That I can't spread the word of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, because I'm scared what people are going to say? I almost guarantee you, and this isn't boasting, I'm boasting in the Lord, that if you walk into Sydney Health Center and you ask people, does Richard know Jesus Christ? That every single person, I don't hide it, would say, yeah. And I'm boasting for the Lord, because the Lord gave me that boldness and that confidence that I know he's true. And if they fire me because of it, I will rejoice. Because those who live for his life will lose it. Those who live for mine will live it. I'm not even in my notes, folks, so. So we should glorify God in all we do. Can we agree on that? Every good gift comes from God. Yeah? Every good gift comes from God. Do we agree with that? Yes, we do, right? Every good gift. So what's a good gift? What's a good gift? Health. Yeah. I'm going to get the pain. Is pain a gift? Amen. Pain, suffering, loss, even though it doesn't feel it. If we know the Lord, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, don't we give him the glory and say, what do you want me to learn from this? If you're about yourself, you're in trouble. Oh, Lord, I'm in pain. You know, we go through pity parties. I'm not saying that. But do we lift it up to the Lord? Do we give it to the Lord? Lord, I'm in pain. If it's your will to take the pain away, have Jesus Christ on the mount. Take it from me. If not, will you please tell me what you want me to learn from this? Huh? I prayed that probably 20 times in a row one night. What do you want me to learn? Young people, I'm telling you, your parents tell you about life's troubles and problems. The Lord is telling you through my lips, if you deny him now, he denies you now. You have the opportunity to set your stage. Sophie, isn't she going to Rwanda or something like that? What a stage to set. I hope she's telling everybody at school, this is what I'm doing. And why? Right, Maddie? You went, I just started in this church and you went somewhere too, didn't you? Yeah, tell. Why? Why am I going? Because I love the Lord. And if you want to laugh at me, good for you, because that makes me feel good. Because I love the Lord. James 1, 2 and 4. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy, not some joy, all joy, when you fall into various trials. You fall in a slump, give joy. You're in pain, give joy. It's a trial. Knowing that the testing of your faith, whether it's from, we know it comes, the testing of our faith comes from the Lord, because it says, and Satan. We could talk about Job. It wasn't the Lord. It was Satan putting them through all that trouble. But he fell on his face, postured himself to where the Lord was glorified. Testing your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And when will that completeness and lacking nothing come? When you see that Lord, when you see your Lord, and you will I fall on your face. Because he's worthy, and you're going to find out how unworthy we are. And that's my struggle today. Why can't I visual myself as an unworthy person? I'm worthy through Christ. But as man, I feel so unworthy. I need to, here's what I wrote. So listen, I write like I'm talking, huh? So listen, Christ died a physical death. It was a painful one, wasn't it? I need to wake up and take notice of my spiritual death, of my dying of the spirit because of the way I take in the world on a daily basis. It should be painful to my heart. It should take me to my spiritual being to glorify God. And what does that mean? Let's look at Micah 6:8. Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. So God, I'll change some of these words with the he's and you's and stuff. God has shown riches. Oh man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of me? But to do justly, to love mercy. Love mercy. First, you got to recognize that you're getting mercy. You don't recognize that mercy, how can you love it? That's what goes through my heart. I don't see it. And to walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly with your God, what does that mean? That it has to be an acknowledgement of God. Of everything we do. If we think of that when we do wrong, we repent. Without repentance, can there be forgiveness? It's my thought. It's what I struggle with daily, people. I do. As I was reading Tozer again, and I shared this in my men's breakfast a week ago, and then I read it again, I wrote that, and sometimes I'll write in the book, or I'll put a post-it if it's longer, it doesn't fit on the page. And I wrote this March 1st, 2019, a year ago exactly today. It's what the Lord put on my heart before I knew it. I believe that our way of life is so natural, as Tozer has written in here, that we don't realize how evil we are. And none of us want to think of ourselves as evil, do we? Well, I'm not evil. I help people. I love people. But listen, it is until we realize how holy our God is, we will never realize how evil we are. So also, when you realize how evil we are, then we will realize how much God loves us and showers us with mercies and grace. How, people, do we recognize the mercy and grace he gives us? You look in Scripture and see what the Lord says is evil. And then apply that to ourselves or to myself. You guys could probably all better than me, because I tell you what, I am evil. I heard a pastor on the radio once, way long time ago, say that people, a pastor on the radio, if you opened my heart and looked inside, it'd be black. Because he realized how holy, 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 we sang that today. How holy is he? Not just once, three times. Scripture says it. Holy, holy. Do we see him? Do we act it? Are we obedient? Are we truthful? The only other things I can be saying is the same things I'm saying. I think there needs to be awakening. The sermon we listened to from the pastor, what was that pastor's name? Jim's, yeah. So, what an awesome message about prayer and about giving life to Christ. It's just not going through the motions. It's living it every day. My job before I came out here was difficult. My goal was to get up to vice president without a college degree. That was my goal. I never made it. One position away. Because I didn't have college, they said I couldn't be. But it was my goal. It was my world. They paid me very well to do what I did in hospitals. I made a good living. I can retire. But I chased the wrong thing. I applied to tons of jobs across the country. Nothing in Montana. I looked at Montana, I said, mm-mm. Or Chicago, okay? Listen, There was one job I applied because I had a goal, send out, because I quit my job, send out 10 applications, resumes every week or more. This Minnesota one came up, Montana, Sydney, Montana, Sydney Health Center. I applied. I got a call. And I got a lot of calls. I got job offers, but it wasn't where I could sustain my way of life. And I prayed, Lord, you put me where you want me. About 3 months after, they offered me a job or less, and told my wife, this is where the Lord's taken me. I don't know why. Montana, 25-bed hospital, 55 residents, piece of cake. So I came here, and it was more than a job. It was a mission field. It was a mission field. It was you folks. I have prayed that I could be in a church that people cared about me and I could care about them. And I can tell you, I got saved when I was around 40 years old. I'll be 61 here in a couple weeks. And it wasn't until I came here that the Lord set me in a place where people cared about people, about their church, about the Lord. Here, this is the home he sent me to for I don't know how long, but I'm here. I get a mission field. I get to talk to people at work about Jesus Christ without being told, no, you can't do that. And I've been told that. I never stop, but I've been told. Stubborn sometimes, but it's for the right reason. Folks, I'm going through an awakening. Give glory to God for the goals and the misses. Give glory to God for everything you have, and I praise him for everything I don't have, because I didn't need it if I don't got it. It's to that awakening that you find out how much glory we need to be given to God. I'm going to close in prayer here, but it's a prayer from A.W. Tozer that struck my heart, and then we can lead into whatever's next. Oh God, I have tasted your goodness, and that has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully, painfully conscious of my need of further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. Oh God, the triune God, I want to want you. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me your glory, I pray to you, that so I may know you indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, love, my fear one, and come away. Then give me grace to rise and follow you up from the misty lowland where I have wandered so long. Wandered so long, Lord, in the lowly land. I pray this in Jesus' name.